good to be here. This morning I was thinking about a story that is very familiar to everyone, and it's kind of been on my mind, and you might have been reading a little more about it recently because of some things that have been happening. And I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 6 and start reading there. I'm going to read quite a lot here. I'm going to read in Genesis 6 and part of 7 and also part of 8. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same being mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by 7s, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by 2, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by 7s, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the floods of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him in the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in 2 and 2 unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Skipping down to verse 24, And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the mountains assuaged, the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And then, skipping down to verse 15, And God said unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth and his wife, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Okay, so that's a very familiar passage that we've heard many times. And of course, they have an ark, you know, in Kentucky. I'm sure many of you read about that. And it's really a fascinating thing. I'd love to go see it sometime. And I got this poster here. I thought maybe this would interest some of you. I would call this poster cute because it's really not very accurate. I think the proportions are way off. But you get a general idea of what's going on. So there you see Noah and a bunch of the animals. And I think the ark would have probably been quite a bit larger than what it looks like in that picture. But I think the idea was to get the ark and some of the animals on there, and Noah and his wife, just to give an idea of what was going on. But the ark was an amazing thing. This whole story of what happened to Noah is amazing. And as I was thinking about who Noah was and what the significance of his life was, I thought about the types of Noah and how that he represents something beyond himself. And I'm going to read a little bit out of my grandpa's book, Types and Shadows. He has a chapter about Noah and the ark and how that Noah represents Christ. And just read a few things here. It says, Noah and the ark are a type of the plan of salvation and of the church. God determined to bring judgment on the earth, yet in the midst of his righteous judgment, God designed figures and patterns of his mercy. The following types reveal the plan and purpose God had for the future. So in this comparison, there's passages that are talking about Noah, and there's passages talking about Christ, and you'll see the parallels here. Number one was Noah was a righteous man. He was a type of Christ. It says Noah was just and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In Acts, it also talks about Jesus as being just. Number two, Noah, by obedience, became the instrument for salvation of the righteous. And, of course, we know that in the same way, Jesus became the instrument of salvation for the righteous. It says in Hebrews 5:8, speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Okay, so number three, Noah was chosen of God to be a comfort to his people. In fact, the word, the name Noah means comfort. And in Isaiah, the prophet prophesies of Christ and says, the Lord shall comfort Zion. Number four, God gave Noah the directions concerning the building of the ark. And I thought this was interesting. It talks about a lower, a second, and a third level of the ark. And in Matthew, it talks about going out and preaching and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's those three again mentioned. There's three to each part. there's also a parallel that can be found in the wood used in the ark. It mentions in the book that God told Noah to make it of gopher wood, and supposedly gopher wood was a desert type tree. It grew in a very dry place. And it had a deep root. And it says in Isaiah also of Jesus, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Another parallel, there was only one door to enter the ark. And in John 10:7, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. There's also a significance in the number 40. talks about 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and that speaks of testing. And Jesus, as we know, was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And there's several others that you could come up with yourself. I thought of this one. They were both carpenters, a simple one, but they both worked with wood. And I think another one would be that they were both rejected by the people around them. So the verse that really stood out to me in this passage was chapter 6, verse 8. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And, you know, I think that speaks to the fact that Noah wasn't just a random choice by God. God didn't just take some random person out of society and say, okay, I'm going to save you and your family. No, he picked a person who was just. It says he was just and he walked with God. Noah stood out like a sore thumb, I would say. You know, if you look at the description of the times of Noah, it says that every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. That's a hard thing to imagine. But I think we have some parallels even in our times today. But Noah was not that way. He would have stood out like a sore thumb because of his righteous life. He walked with God, and I'm sure that life for Noah was not easy. You know, he would have been maybe the only righteous person in the whole world. Can you imagine living the way Noah did and realizing that there was no one else out there that was going to support you in what you believed and what you thought? Recently, I heard somebody ask this question: what if God asked me to do something like Noah? Would I be willing to do it? And it got me to thinking, and I think the answer is not, the question is not, is God going to ask me to do something like Noah, and would I do it? The answer is, God has already asked you to do something like Noah, and are we being faithful in that? So I'd like to now look at, instead of looking at the parallels of Noah and salvation in Christ, I'd like to look at the parallels of Noah's life and our life today. You know, there's several things about Noah's life that I think we can learn from, that Noah's calling required and that our calling today requires. The first one I thought of was an attentive ear to listen to the Lord. You know, Noah was a good listener. He wasn't distracted by his life to the point where he couldn't hear the Lord speaking. And in the same way, we have to shut out the things that would distract us from following the Lord and listen to his word. Today we have his word. We can hear it if we're willing to stop and hear it. And beyond that, Noah was willing to take action. You know, he didn't know exactly all the details of what was going to go on in life. But God gave him steps that he could take, and he took those steps. He obeyed. Do we act on what we learn from the Lord? Are we willing to hear his word and then act on it? You know, actions speak louder than words. You've heard the story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, and Anybody, and Nobody. It says there was an important job to do, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So it brings out the point that oftentimes we don't act when we ought to. But Noah, he took action. Noah was also a living witness, another thing that our lives require today. You know, he didn't have his head down just ignoring the world around him, but he lived his life in obedience to the Lord. And because of that, he was a preacher to the world around him. And in Peter, it talks about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. And, you know, I don't think it's talking about preacher in the sense of we talk about it today, somebody getting up and giving a speech or whatever, or doing what I'm doing this morning. It's talking about somebody who's living a life that speaks to other people. And no doubt he also spoke about what he believed. But his life was a message of salvation to the world. The things he did, he was building up this ark. And everybody was asking, you know, why is Noah doing this? Well, I'm sure he explained it. I'm sure he told people why he was doing it. And his whole life pointed to the fact that he believed in it. Noah also lived a countercultural lifestyle. I think I mentioned this already, really, but he lived by beliefs and values that were not accepted by the people of his time. And if he had lived by the beliefs and values of the people of his time, there is no way that he would have had faith to build an ark. He would have reasoned himself out of it. He would have said, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. It has never rained. What are you talking about, rain? Those things just don't happen. It's scientifically impossible. But Noah had faith in the Lord, and he deliberately went against the culture, the beliefs of the people around him to do what he did. As I said before, I don't think he knew exactly how God was going to accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish. But he had enough evidence of the faithfulness of the Lord. You know, Noah had lived at this point to be probably 500 years old. And he had plenty of time to test the faithfulness of God and know, without a doubt, that God would do what he said. He also had a lot of time to think about what he was doing. While he was building the ark, there's a lot of thoughts about exactly how long Noah spent building the ark. Some people say it was 120 years, but I read several things on it that I would think that it was probably less than 75 years from the time he started building to the time that the flood came. But that's a long time to have to think about, what am I doing and why am I doing it? And everybody's laughing at me. Noah knew why he was doing what he was doing, and he kept right on in spite of the world around him. And you know, that's the nature of faith, and that's the nature of what our faith should be today. As Christians, we don't look for the thing that happens to us 6 months, a year, 10 years down the road, so much as we look for the things that happen beyond our own life. We look for a future that is not on the earth. We look for things that are way beyond our own lifetimes. If we look at Hebrews 11, where it talks about Noah and others, it says this in Hebrews 11:13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." God prepares a city for the people who are willing to look beyond the little here and now, and with faith look into the future. You know, I think as parents, we sometimes become discouraged by the task of here and now and forget to look at the future. At the family camp, Melvin Lehman mentioned this thought. You know, a lot of the things that we do as parents is build on faith. We don't see the results of our training tomorrow, necessarily, or maybe even in a week, or maybe in a month. It may take a lifetime before we see those things. And so we don't discipline our children for the immediate problem. We discipline them for the future, for what the future holds. And sometimes we get tired of that, and we want to see results now. But think of all the many people that the Bible mentions there in Hebrews that died in faith and didn't really see what God was going to do in the future. But they knew it was coming, but they couldn't see it. And they didn't know how it was going to happen. But they lived their lives in faith, knowing that what God had promised, it was going to happen. So there is hope and reason, even though we may not always see it in our lifetime. As I mentioned before, Noah was not, I don't think he was an obscure person in history, even amongst the people of his time. He would have stood out. His lifestyle, and especially this monstrosity of an ark, would have stood out like a sore thumb. People would have seen that thing and thought, what in the world is Noah building? And for many years, he had to deal with the doubts and the ridicule of the world. And you know, I think as Christians, we're like that too. As Anabaptists, we often stand out even more so in the world. We're like that sore thumb, like that ark that Noah built, that stands out and makes people wonder what is going on and why, and it looks foolish. But at the same time, can we realize the incredible opportunity that God has given us to show the world something, to show the world salvation? The stamp of God was on that ark, even though people didn't see it at that time. That was God's stamp of salvation, and Noah told the people that asked, That's what it means. It's salvation for you. And, you know, as I think about standing out in the world, we have something that Noah didn't have, and that is we have a lot of people around us to encourage us and to help point us the right direction and to lift us up. And if I could just say a little bit right now, be encouraging to one another in that way. You know, I can think of the times that an older person came to me and said just a few words to me of encouragement as a young person. And that really meant a lot to me. And I think that kept me going many times when, you know, I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing and I doubted it. And an older person came and spoke a few words to me of encouragement, and that really meant a lot. So I would encourage you to do the same to the people around you. Noah's life was a warning to the world, even as the life of a Christian is today. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah's life was a warning and a condemnation to the world around him, just as our lives should also be a warning to the world that Jesus is returning. People should look at us, and the reasoning that they should come to is that we're living for a cause, and that cause is for Christ, and that someday he's coming back for his bride. Are we living our lives like we really believe that he's returning someday for us? You know, God is merciful. He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. We know all those things. But someday he is coming back in judgment. And how long will that be? How long can he wait? Speaking of the times of Noah, Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So, you know, our lives should be a warning to the world that Jesus is returning. He's returning soon. And these people, they obviously ignored the warnings around them. They ignored what Noah had said. Do the people around you know that you're living your life because of that? Do they see your life as a witness to them that Christ is returning and that they should be ready? As Noah had to say in his day, we have to say no to compromise as well. You know, I suppose Noah was discouraged at times and tempted to question God. You know, Lord, we're making this ark, and I've got all this time, and I've spent a lot of time telling people what this ark is about, but not a single person has yet said that they want to join me in this ark. Nobody has volunteered to come with me. I can't convince anyone. Couldn't you do something to help these people understand what's going to happen to them? Couldn't you make it a little easier for them? Maybe just warn them with a small flood or something. You know, maybe Noah thought all those things. I don't know. But I suppose he did. And today we still have maybe the same temptation to water the Word of God down so that people can accept it right where they are. But that doesn't work. God, we can't be smarter than the Lord. We can't be any more merciful than he is to us. In closing, I'd like to just challenge you to build your own ark. And I'm not talking about the ark of salvation that Jesus built for us, but I'm talking about doing what you can to be spiritually prepared for the future, for you and your family. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? I think if you today can say that, yes, you have accepted Christ and he is your Lord and Savior, then you have found grace in God's eyes. So the next question is, are you building your ark? Peter, 2 Peter 1, 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then in Jude, it says this, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Lord has told us what we need to do, and he has shown us the way to be prepared for the coming judgment and to have our lives spiritually ready for that. And I just want to challenge everyone, myself included, to live like Noah did, following the Lord's directions and preparing that spiritual, having that spiritual preparation for the days that are ahead, for the time that's ahead, and for your children and family, that you're ready for whatever the world might throw at you, and you're ready to say, I know what I believe, and God is my God, he's my Lord, and I have faith in him. Okay, I'm going to close with that, and I'll leave it open for testimony if you have a testimony.